Joe Manchin, sitting on a cruise ship, watching Charlemagne the God. This is the news, according to me. And I just realized there's a problem here. I can't find my cup. This is a problem. I'm gonna have to go looking for this thing. Hello, where's my cup? I gotta have a cup here somewhere. I don't know what's in my cup. I had hot chocolate here earlier, and I'm pretty sure I poured something like orange juice or something. I don't know what happened to it. I don't even have water here. I don't even have a cup, let alone water. I got nothing. I got nothing. Okay, so anyway, I'm sure you're wondering about that intro with the whole cruise ship and all that stuff. This is how my mind works. I just want to explain to you that my mind has, my mind goes where no man has gone before. I have ways of remembering things. This is my show notes all in my head. Now I have show notes over here. The last time I entered something in the show notes was about 2 weeks ago. That's about all there was there. Of course, one of the questions was about whether or not Joe Biden has ever had COVID. Now, I don't know if you remember that episode or not. There's been, would they tell us if he had COVID? Has Kamala ever had COVID? I mean, stop and think about all the people in the Biden-Harris administration. See, I said it properly there. We don't hear much about that anymore, do we? The Biden-Harris administration, that was a big deal. Ever played, all the signs said Biden-Harris. You don't see that anymore. In fact, you don't see much about Biden administration anywhere, not right now. Just the continued, collapse of this particular presidential administration, everything about it. You know, here's what I don't understand. This still befuddles me. This still amazes me. That we have commentators, like professional commentators who've been in this business since I've been born. Of course, now, Biden hasn't been in the office for even a year yet. But they're already talking about whether or not he's going to run in 2024. They act like 2024 is tomorrow. And they don't really care about what happens between now and 2024. All they care about is whether or not he's going to run again. Because, and here's the reason. I'm convinced this is the reason. Because Donald Trump is still in their head and they're scared of the boogeyman. They are so terrified of this guy potentially running again that they have to find out who the next candidate is going to be so they can start running him against Trump. They can start playing him up right away, whoever it's going to be, him or her, whatever's going to happen there. And of course, they don't want Kamala to be the president or the vice president for that matter. So they're hoping he picks somebody else to be a running mate. Now, there's been rumor about Hillary coming back for 2024. She's back. Just when you thought it was safe to go outside your house. Yeah. This administration is a joke. And whenever Biden says something, you know the opposite is the actual truth. And this is why it was very comforting to me, actually, when Biden said he was going to run again in 2024. He came out while back, last week, I think. Yes, I'm going to be running again in 2024. Yes, of course. Of course I am. Yes, of course. Which, you know, everything he says is always the opposite of what he says. He's the worst prognosticator. Is that what that's called? I'm a procrastinator. He's a prognosticator. I don't know what it is. You know, someone who can figure out the future, foretell the future, not, you know, based on, you know, based on knowledge, not based on some kind of weird spiritual thing. He's not a prophet. A prophet is very different. Someone who can just look at the data and say, this is where we're going to end up right here. That's prognostication. At least that's the way I look at it. So the intro here into this program. By the way, thank you for listening. And thank you for, you know, those of you who do listen to this program, I greatly appreciate you listening. And I more than anything, I appreciate, you know, coming to the end of the year here. This program has been on now for almost a year. Actually, it started, I believe I started this podcast before. When did I start this podcast? I should look and see when this thing actually started. I wonder if it's on my statistics. I wonder if it's even in here. I know I did not start the actual podcast on Podbean until this year. I believe I started how far back did this thing go? Let's go with all time. Back in 2020. Yes, I started in December of 2020. So I did start last year. I've been going almost a year. This is actually, we are right at the just over a year now. Just over a year. And let's look at some statistics here real quickly, just if you would just humor me for a moment. We still have pretty much most of the world is lit up here, except for New Zealand. For some reason, the Zealanders, Kiwis, are just not into the show, apparently. United States, South Korea, Russia, Mexico, Japan, Colombia, United Kingdom, Italy, Ireland, Germany, and the list goes on. Those are the top 10. Looks like Nigeria, and what's this place here in Africa? Tanzania. I didn't see that there. Of course, Chile and Peru, Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela. Yes, it's France. France is on there as well. Of course, the Canada. So we have this. Almost a year, and this is episode 280 something? 283 maybe? Is this episode 283? Seems like it's more than that. It's got to be at least 284. Something around there. Let's see if I can find that real quick. It's go to podcast files here. I think I got them all listed here somewhere. That one right there is number 284. Yeah, so this is episode 285. I don't think I'm going to be able to break 300 before the end of the year here. It's possible. It's very possible. If I start doing two a day for a while, we'll get to episode 300 before the end of the year. Maybe I should make it so that episode 300 falls on the last day of the year, or maybe the first day of next year. We'll just see how that works out. I'm not sure what my schedule is going to be on January 1st this year. It's been a little bit questionable. And I still haven't solidified anything from January 1st through the whole month yet, because I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen with all that. It has a, it's been a little bit uncertain still. Let's check the schedule here. This calendar still has not been updated for next year yet, so I don't know yet. So there you have it. On with the show here. Let's get on with the show. So I've been watching some interesting things here over the weekend. Joe Manchin. He's in the Senate. He's very much a swing voter. With regard to, you know, he's more of a moderate Democrat, if you want to call him that. I don't know that there is such a thing anymore. I don't know. And I appreciate the fact that the guy is holding out on Build Back Better. He understands what the CBO did. When they looked at the actual real numbers of this bill, this mega bill that the Congress passed, they want to get through the Senate. Old JoJo said he was going. We're going to work out a deal with Joe B, the Biden man. He said he could work out a deal with Joe Manchin, and apparently that kind of fell apart. You know, because being the master negotiator that Joe is, that Joe Biden is, apparently he wasn't able to. Grope his way into the mind of Joe Manchin, so he didn't make it, and Manchin looks at the numbers and basically says, I can't. This is a no vote for me. In the face of real inflation, what he said was real inflation. Now you have to understand what he means by that. When he says that is that the administration says this inflation isn't real. It's just going to be a blip. It's going to pop up a little bit and it's going to go right away. It's going to go away. That was 6 months ago. When everything is going up, and when we had lumber prices, we had a lumber shortage, and lumber was going up for a little bit, and it did go up like crazy. It was ridiculous. It did come back down. That was transitory because of some issues with supply chain. Once the supply chain got balanced back out again, we had normal prices, kind of fell back into the normal genre. Once the supply kind of matched out with the demand. That's how that works. That's what transitory inflation is. Transitory inflation typically only affects certain sectors of the economy. Real inflation is across the board, and that's what we're seeing right now. We have, first of all, energy prices have gone up, and they're continuing to go up, and they're not looking at any kind of change. There's nothing happening that's going to change that. This little blip that they did with the reserves was a token drop in the bucket, literally, compared to what is really happening with the energy prices around the world and the deals that are being made, especially with Russia-Germany thing going on, and with what OPEC is doing. OPEC was insignificant. We never heard the word OPEC for about 4 years in terms of anything relative to our fuel, our energy process here in the U.S. because we were energy independent. Something that every president has promised since 1974, and yet it hasn't happened because they always sell out. So it finally does happen, and then this administration reverses it. Because we have to go green. There are a lot of issues with that. This whole process of what they're doing here. But I digress. I'm not going to get into that on this particular show. Because this show is about Joe Manchin sitting on a cruise ship watching Charlemagne the God. Now let me explain that to you. There are basically three topics I want to talk about. One of them is the cruise ship. I was already talking about Joe Manchin. Let's finish the thought with Joe Manchin, and we'll get into the cruise ship that he's sitting on. The Joe Manchin thing has become a hotbed on the left right now. Everybody loves to hate the guy. Even Ilhan Omar, who in my opinion is a bitter United States hating individual. I don't know why she hates the country so much. what the country stands for. I'm not sure why. This is the country who rescued her from a country that would have killed her for saying the things she says here about the government leaders here in this country. I'm just going to say this. I'm usually more reserved about saying this about someone, but I have no other way of describing this woman. She is despicable. The things that she did to get into this country and help others get to this country, and the things she's done to get into office and stay in office, are absolutely despicable. And then she turns around and lies about things and just continues to, personally, here's my view of what's going to happen as we enter into eternity. I believe that everyone's life is going to be on display. Your entire life will be on display for everyone to see. And every single human being that has ever lived, whoever will live after us, their life will be on display. The interaction between God and those individuals, all the things that He did to try to reconcile them to Himself, will be seen throughout their life. There'll be all this angelic and supernatural interaction that happens throughout their entire life. You'll be able to see all this interaction that happens. All the decisions and choices that they made, the directions that they chose to go, from Adam and Eve all the way to the end, the last person who's born on earth. We'll get to see how the earth was created, all the things that happened, all the biblical stories we've heard of. We'll be able to relive those things by seeing them through the people's eyes who lived them. We'll be able to feel their emotions. Everyone will get to experience everyone else's life, in a sense. And that moment of redemption, when they make that ominous choice to accept Messiah, to accept the sacrifice that was made on the cross, the Lamb that God provided. And how that changed every single one of those lives. And that, because it's for His glory. That's for no other reason. It's just, it will glorify Him and the work that He did. And somehow those things, those bad things that we have done, all those bad choices and mistakes that we've made, even though everybody has seen it, it will suddenly be erased from everyone's memory. And all that is left is the glory. Because His glory will outshine those things. Now that's what I kind of picture happening in the judgment, if you want to call it that, the opening of the books, the stories of our lives. Now, I look at someone like Ilhan Omar, Nancy Pelosi, even people who are, whether you're on the right or the left, That's not how God's going to judge us, whether or not we were Republican or Democrat. But there's this deep concern I have for these people facing eternity in light of all the things that they say and do. The hypocrisy, the deception, in their place of leadership, in their prominence in society, when you choose to make the decisions they're making that affect so many other people's lives. I wonder sometimes if when Jesus said, "Woe unto him who causes this little one to stumble," it would be better that a millstone be cast around their neck, tied to their neck, and cast into the sea. It's not going to be fun for that person when they meet their Creator. It's evident that there will be people who will try to stand before God and argue in his face and say, "Didn't we see you? Didn't we see, you know, do this for you and didn't do that for you? Didn't we do all these things in your name?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That statement shakes me to my core, because you can live a lie. You can live in deception. Even in the Old Testament, there's a place where God spoke through the prophets and he said, "They worship me in the imagination of their heart." That statement also troubles me, especially when I see leaders, especially in youth leaders. But this goes on in churches and in counseling sessions where you imagine that you're walking down a path. As you're walking along the path, you see another path that joins your path, and on that path is Jesus. And for a short time, he walks with you. What would you say to him? Now, what is his response back to you? This is all happening in your imagination. Now, if you have a really good biblical grounding in who Jesus is and what he would say to you in your situation, that might work, maybe. But you are treading very closely on a door that is open to mysticism and false demonic doctrine. Because what you believe, what you imagine Jesus saying to you, is the Jesus that you have imagined in your head. That's a very scary thought. You see, the Holy Spirit is not some thing in our imagination. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. It wasn't imagination that raised Christ from the dead. And yet that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives within you. And he wants to be manifest within you. And that doesn't happen in your imagination. The person of the Holy Spirit is a real person. And if we only imagine, now there's nothing wrong with using our, God gave us an imagination. There's nothing wrong with using our imagination and using it for creativity and for imagining what it would be like on that day when we see him. But you have to understand there's a difference between reality and what you imagine God to be saying to you or what you think he might say. So, didn't mean to go down that particular road just now. But I wonder what it would be like for those people on that day, when that which has been whispered in the closets will be shouted from the rooftops. Things that they've done will be exposed. That's all I'm going to say. All of the things that have been done because the end justified the means, the lies that were told, the deception that was done just to get their agenda across because they thought they were doing everybody, I just help it, it's for the children. It's for the children. They don't care about the children. They care about their power. So Joe Manchin is under fire now from the left. Ilhan Omar has come out and said that Joe has all these reasons for not doing, you know, voting for the bill, and it's all bull, you know what. She says this in an interview, and supposedly she's supposed to be the moral standard. She's not the disgusting one. Trump is the disgusting one. He's disgusting. He's a pig. These people are hypocrites. They can't be judged by their own standards themselves. They would fall short. But they don't see it that way. You know? Because the boogeyman is someone else. It's not me. It's someone else. And even when someone does lash out, you know, Jesse Smollett was, we were told by Eric Holder, the reason Jesse Smollett did what he did is because of Trump. Because Trump provided the environment. If it wasn't for Trump, we wouldn't be doing this. He wouldn't have done it if it wouldn't have been Trump. Yeah, and I suppose what that one comedian who held Trump's head on a, you know, bloody head on a, up as a joke, supposedly. That was, she wouldn't have done that either if it wasn't for Trump. So you're blaming, that's like blaming the victim for your crime. It's just stupid. So Joe Manchin's sitting on a cruise ship. The reason I do this is because I don't take notes very often. When I do, it's just to try to write something down. But when I'm listening to a lot of things, and a lot of times I'll go from one story, I'll think of a story, or see a story that I'll be watching on, you know, YouTube or someplace or on the news, see something on the news. And I think, I want to talk about that on the show today or tomorrow or next week, whatever. And I'll forget what it is. So I have to come up with this method to remember it, a mental note. So there were basically three things I wanted to talk about today. One was Joe Manchin and this whole thing about the left and the way they're attacking him and everything that's going on there. The other is, and of course, there's always Joe Biden. You know, he's always, you know. And there's always COVID, because COVID is at the kind of the top of the thing, you know, thing. So this cruise ship, I'll talk to you about this cruise ship that, it's interesting. Cruise ships have been the petri dish. And we'll talk about that later. And then there's also Charlemagne the God. I think the show's now just called Charlemagne. Maybe, I don't know. But now, if you remember, Joe Biden was on this show called Charlemagne. And this is prior to the election. And he basically said, if you can have the trouble deciding between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, then you ain't black. So he was basically saying, if you're black, you have to vote for me. Because, you know, it's obviously you need to vote for an old white man. Because, you know, because you're black. Makes sense. Make it about identity, except for they don't care about your identity unless it's just to get your vote. Take for granted you're going to vote for them. I got news for you. There's a lot of what we would call minorities of the people of color in this country who are starting to wake up this baloney. Because we see all of a sudden that the left just uses them as pawns to get to stay in power. So Carmella, she's on this show. I wish I could find this. I had only heard little bits and pieces of this thing, and I hadn't heard the whole thing. Maybe I can find this real quick while I'm talking here. I'll do some clicking. See what I can find. I think, it came right up here. I think I can find this. Let's play this and see what you think. And I want to give you my analysis. This is on Fox News, so I'll try to clip this out before, try to stop it before, what's her name here? But she's talking. I'll try to clip it back out before she comes back in.
Who's the real president of this country? Is it Joe Manchin or Joe Biden, Madam Vice President?
Come on, Charlamagne. It's Joe Biden.
I can't tell sometimes.
No. It's Joe Biden. And don't start talking like a Republican about asking whether or not he's president.
Do you think Joe Manchin is a problem?
It's Joe Biden. And I'm Vice President. And my name is Kamala Harris.
Now, you have to understand, she's pointing her finger, doing the Z-snap, I call it. Now, this comes down to, again, you'll notice that Carmella many times repeats herself over and over when she makes a statement. No, it's Joe Biden. It's Joe Biden. She'll say something, and yet she'll spend 5 minutes saying something, and she repeats herself so many times that she's only made one statement out of that entire 5 minutes, because she continues to repeat herself. And this is what unintelligent people do. I don't know how to put this. When someone is trying to dominate the conversation, but they don't have the intellect to do so, they will do that. They will also use a lot of ums and uhs. I challenge you, the next time you listen to a press conference with Circleback Psaki, how many times she says and in the course of a sentence. She has the ability to cram them in places that don't belong. I mean, I can understand someone talking, trying to develop a thought, and they come up with, they're trying to put together a thought, and there's kind of a hesitation, and they might say something like that. She throws the and ums in there like they have to be there in order for her to complete the sentence, and she's completing the sentence, and it's going fast enough, but she's throwing it in there like in places where, like, she has to, like, cram it in. Like, she's got plenty of time to say what she's saying and continue the sentence, but she, and then has to, and I can't even do it. It's a skill for her. It's actually just become a habit, and unfortunately, it's a habit that it ruins her ability to speak. And listen to Kayleigh McEnany. Anytime you've heard her speak as a press secretary, when she was doing press conferences, you never heard her do that. She didn't mince words. She was in your face at you. If you came at her, she came back at you with facts and knowledge from her little book that she put together. And she was sharp and quick on everything that was in there. Now, Circleback is pretty good at fielding the questions. The problem is we don't get answers. She's good at passing off the ball or punting. That's where she got the whole name Circleback, because she didn't answer questions. She just said, "We'll circle back with you on that." But in the process, she says and so many times that it's downright kind of just unsettling. But I digress. We're talking about Carmella here. And I want you to listen to this one more time. I'm going to try to pull this off. See if I can pull this off so that... where is it at here? I think that's where it's at. And just listen to her talk here. Let's listen to it one more time. Try to get the volume level up here.
Who's the real president of this country? Is it Joe Manchin or Joe Biden, Madam Vice President?
Come on, Charlamagne. It's Joe Biden.
I can't.
It's Joe. No. It's Joe Biden.
It's Joe Biden.
Start talking like a Republican.
Don't start talking like a Republican.
About asking whether or not he's president.
Do you think Joe Manchin is a problem?
It's Joe Biden. And I'm Vice President.
And I'm pointing my finger at your face. Yeah, this is not the reaction you want to see. Now, supposedly Charlamagne says, I like this version of her. Well, I don't. I'm glad that she has some moxie here. That's good, I guess. The problem is she doesn't say anything. And the fact that someone on the left is even asking these questions. Now, her reaction kind of to me shows a vitriol that means she's mad because they're being found out. This isn't like a righteous anger thing. This is like we can't have this narrative out there. How dare you mention the things that we're not supposed to talk about? That's kind of what it reminds me of. Great. This woman is one heartbeat away from. Yeah. Great. So, moving on from that. So, what is this show doing on a cruise ship? Let's talk about this cruise ship thing. I think I can find it in my email. I actually had a pretty good. I get dumped on by so many emails now, but it's just that season of the. Yeah, there's just so much here. There's just so many emails. It's all because of Christmas season. I have to go through all these. I'm deleting them all. It's all stuff that they want to sell me or just whatever, raising money for whatever reason. Here it is. This is the COVID outbreak. COVID-19 outbreak reported on Royal Caribbean cruise despite fully vaccinated adult passengers. Everybody on the boat basically was vaccinated. Now, my understanding is, let's see if I can find the other one that was on here as well. That's the same report, I believe. Yeah, I don't see it there. It's not there right now. Maybe it's here in my Reliable News Network show. Despite vaccine deaths, New Zealand still pushes mandatory jabs. That's interesting. That's an interesting. I guess I didn't see that one before. Americans lost Vossi if vaxxed and boosted and wearing a mask. Make sure you continue to wear your mask. You should be okay. First of all, let's talk about this whole mask thing. Now, Fauci's saying if you're vaccinated, even if you're in any kind of public scenarios, in any kind of enclosed circumstances where you don't know the vaccination status of those around you, you should still wear your mask. Well, what if you do know the vaccination status? What if everybody around you is vaccinated, Anthony? It's starting to play out now in real life, in real time, that this idea of breakthrough cases are not quite so breakthrough. You see, the term breakthrough makes it sound like, oh, once in a while, one will break through. It's really rare. No, it's not rare. In fact, I can't believe they're getting, it's so blatantly now obvious that the vaccinated public is carrying the virus. And we don't know it because they're asymptomatic. How many people who are vaccinated are being tested every day? Now, we're testing the unvaccinated. Well, if you're going to work here, you have to be tested once a week, and you have to be, of course, you're working among people who are vaccinated. So if you catch it, you must have caught it from someone who is vaccinated. Probably. I mean, it's just as much of a chance of it, isn't there? And then you have these breakthrough cases where the vaccinated are, oh, I've come down with COVID. Well, how do you know? I mean, Omicron is sweeping the planet through vaccinated individuals. In fact, I think I've harped on this enough. Here we have a cruise ship now that has well, let's look at this thing here. New Zealand links death to Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. It remains safer to be vaccinated. So they're saying here that, of course, there's health authorities in New Zealand have said that they believe a 26-year-old man's death is connected to a side effect from Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. Now, a 26-year-old probably would not have died from COVID. Maybe Delta. But the number of people who are 26 years old who have died from COVID are, it's pretty rare. You want to talk about the number one cause of death among 26-year-olds, it's fentanyl overdose. A preliminary postmortem analysis indicated that the probable cause of the man's death was myocarditis. Now my cat is running around, using my sound booth as a giant scratch pad, which is a rare side effect of the vaccine that causes the heart muscle to become inflamed, according to Bloomberg. The current available information, the board has considered that the myocarditis was probably due to vaccination in this individual. A statement from the New Zealand COVID-19 Vaccine Independent Safety Monitoring Board said of the man who died within 2 weeks of receiving his first Pfizer vaccine, per Bloomberg. Now, interestingly enough, when you have your first shot, you are not considered to be vaccinated. So it's not reported as a vaccinated case. There's some weird number stuff going on. There's some people who've noticed that some of the things that have been said. It's just ridiculous. But I digress. And this comes back to, again, Joe Biden coming out and saying, if you get the vaccine, you're not going to spread it to anybody. Yeah, okay. It's spreading all over the place. We're wearing masks and we're vaccinated. And it's still spreading all over the world. First of all, the masks are, quite frankly, worthless. Unless you're wearing an N95. You want to wear an N95 mask, there is some benefit in that if you don't wear it too long. They're saying that 2 to 3 hours max, and really 1 hour. If you wear the mask 1 hour, you should throw it away and get another mask. These cloth masks, these masks that people are providing for you, these little surgical masks that they put on, worthless. Absolutely worthless. They might spread they help to protect you from bacteria. That's what they help protect you from. It's from anybody else. If you wear that mask too long, you can become, the bacteria can form in your mask. And now you're breathing it into your lungs. Now that's why we're having a lot of respiratory issues with kids wearing masks. But I digress. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not a virologist, not a life coach. I'm not a professor, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just a guy with a microphone with some opinions, sharing them to the World Wide Web, to the entire world, in a world where one man with a microphone. Yeah, that's what I am. But I, you know, so take my opinions as, you know, what they are, just my opinions. What you do with my opinions are your business, which is the way it should be in this world. You shouldn't have to, I shouldn't be censored for bad opinions because one person's bad opinion is another person's bad judgment. Regardless of that. Okay, so we have some of these issues. This boat, by the way, Let's see if I can find it. I had it here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Yeah. I'll just click on this and see where it takes me. Usually it just takes me to a site that has 3 million advertisements before you can get the real truth out of it. 48 people who were on board the Royal Caribbean Symphony of the Sea. Of course, now pop-ups happen and now the stuff's popping up. I can't read the whole thing now. 48 people who were on board the Royal Caribbean Symphony of the Sea cruise ship tested positive for COVID-19, the illness caused by the CCP, Chinese Communist Party virus. Although Royal Caribbean requires everyone age 12 and older to show proof of vaccination in order to board their ships. Okay. Seems to be a bit of a problem, I would say. These breakthrough cases that are happening. Breakthrough. I just heard a rumor that... Let's see if I can find it here. It's on this little thing here. One of my apps. On one of my apps. Democrat Senator Cory Baker, he's of New Jersey. He's from New Jersey. He's tested positive for COVID-19 and he's fully vaccinated, by the way. He's fully vaccinated. So don't worry. He's fully vaccinated. This was just posted on some other thing. So yeah, Cory Baker. Yeah. And you know, of course he's always wearing a mask. He's Mr. Perfect. Somehow he got it. So he got it. And yet Joe Biden, supposedly we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden's never had it. And that Kamala Harris has never had it. This, despite many people in their administration and people all around them having it. And yet Joe, Superman, he's never had it before because he wears his protective sunglasses and he always wears his mask when he can find it. And he figures out who he is and where he is. This is, first of all, and I guess, I think somebody else has it too. Somebody else just came out, somebody in the public. I'm not sure who they are. I heard the name, but I don't know who they are. So this, you know, just all these rare breakthrough cases every day coming about, happening to everybody who's fully vaccinated. And again, I tell you, I'm more concerned about the unvaccinated being around vaccinated individuals because we're not testing vaccinated people. Oh, and why should we? Because they're vaccinated. Because aren't they immune? That's what we were told. That's what we thought a vaccine was supposed to do. If we were told that, hey, this is a medicine, this is a treatment that will keep you from getting as sick, it's not going to vaccinate you. It's just going to be a treatment that will keep you from getting as sick if you do catch the virus. That's all it's going to do. And of course, there's even question about whether or not that's going to be, whether or not you're even going to have any immunity. If you've been vaccinated and you get the virus, there's questionable evidence that you will actually have natural immunity from the virus after you have acquired it. So because the statistics, we're not getting any numbers. We're not hearing anybody talk about that. And the mere fact that we're not hearing about it, it's not being told to us. I see. I ask the questions that are. I like to fill in the blanks. What's between the lines here? What are we not hearing about? This was the same thing was happening with the whole breakthrough stuff when we're hearing about the breakthrough of the virus. When Omicron initially came out, there were certain things we weren't hearing about. And somebody needs to ask those questions. We need those kinds of answers. We need answers on so many, such a broader spectrum, instead of just coming out and saying, well, we have to lock down again. Omicron's coming out. It's a new strain. It's a new variant. And it's much more transmissible than the Delta variant was. Well, okay, is it more dangerous? Well, no, but we don't think it is. But it's more contagious. At this point, it looks like Omicron is an upper respiratory issue, not a lower respiratory. Lower respiratory viruses are extremely deadly and very difficult. Basically, you have this, is it called a cytoplasmic reaction, where your body's fighting off the virus in your lower lungs, and it just creates this, it just basically decimates your ability to breathe because it fills up with fluid. An upper respiratory event is much more treatable, first of all, than a lower respiratory event. Now, not saying it can't kill you. I'm saying it's not as serious and it's not as untreatable. We have much better treatment. Now, the other thing is this new pill. I'm seeing doctors pushing for this new pill from Pfizer. It's an early treatment pill. As soon as you know you have COVID, you take this pill, and it staves off the symptoms. You know, sounds a lot like the vaccine. But it also, there's been studies shown, and this is from doctors. This is I can point you to the actual studies that they've done in comparison to ivermectin. Now, I know I'm not supposed to mention that word, but it does exactly the same thing. In fact, ivermectin seems to be able to have a broader spectrum of variants that it can actually help you from, whereas the pill may not even be effective against Omicron. And yet they want approval for this thing. And I think the pill costs like $70? $70 a treatment or $70 a pill? I think it's $70 a pill. Ivermectin's like 30 cents. This is nothing but a fleecing of America. Now, I know that if I caught this thing, if I were heading to the hospital, if I knew I was having trouble struggling and I was going to have to go to the doctor and they were going to talk to him about taking me to my last, you know, if I have enough consciousness within me to let it be known, I'm going to be looking for a doctor to prescribe me some ivermectin. I'm going to get it somewhere, by hook or by crook. It's going in me. I mean, here's the question. Is it going to harm me? Why are they not trying it? Is it somehow going to be a deadly combination of having it in my system? It's like saying, well, an aspirin will work, but we're not going to let you have an aspirin. Because aspirin won't work. Aspirin doesn't do anything for you. So no, we're not going to let you take an aspirin. I can take an aspirin right now. Even though I'm not sick, I can take an aspirin. Everybody takes an aspirin. Not everybody, but I mean, there's no harmful side effects from just taking an aspirin. And yet that's the same thing we have here. Ivermectin, almost virtually no side effects. No risks involved in taking it. Billions of people have taken this drug. And yet, all of a sudden, we can't administer it. We can't even talk about it in this country because there are places who have banned it. There are states who have banned this. Doctors can't even prescribe it. There's a reason for that. Because under the Emergency Act, if there is any kind of treatment or therapeutic that works, they have to abandon the Emergency Act on any kind of vaccination. In other words, it would make the Emergency Act null and void. They couldn't give you the vaccination. And Pfizer and Moderna and all these other companies would be out. They're billions and billions in profit. We're being fleeced, folks, right before our eyes. And all that money sloshing around out there, you can bet It's getting back to NGOs and other organizations that are feeding money back into the campaigns of those who are pushing it on us. I guarantee you that. It's infuriating. Now, look, I know that this is a nasty virus. Delta is extremely, in fact, extremely bad. Omicron seems to be. Actually, I'm surprised that countries are not welcoming Omicron at this point. It's going to be in every country, in every state. Indiana now just announced that it has its first confirmed case of Omicron. Now, I guarantee you, it's all over the place here. Because not everybody's being tested every day. And this thing spreads without, you know, we're usually about 2 weeks behind this stuff. We tested one first case in California of Omicron. Next thing you know, it's all over the country. That guy didn't go all over the country. It's just all over the country. And a week later, there's like 13 states. And it didn't come from that one guy. COVID doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have a collective thought pattern. It is a virus. It goes right through your mask. If any kind of water vapor from your lungs gets outside your mask, and if you wear glasses, you know what I'm talking about. Any of it can contain a virus. And if you can smell someone's perfume through your mask that's walking in front of you in an airport, you could be breathing in a virus. I guarantee you. If you can smell their body odor, you can be breathing in a virus. That's how small this thing is. Think about that the next time you catch, you know, you're downwind of someone who just broke wind. And you got your mask on. Yeah. Well, folks, I know it's the start of the day, start of the week, Monday. Only 2 more weeks left in this month. So here it is, Monday, December 20th, 2021 at 11:24 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I, myself personally, am going to sign off now. So once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to my rants, my raves, my opinions, all that stuff. I know that I tend to be a little bit opinionated about some things. According to my wife, that's what she says. She's probably right. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes she is. Not always. Except for when she's around, and she's always right. Yeah. There you go. Coming to the end of the year, 2021, soon will be 2022. And God has not abandoned us. So we continue to pray. Pray for each other. Pray for our leaders. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful evening.